We don't own the rights, so don't sue us.
Wake up, try to say this to boy SBC Desi.
It's your boy Mario Ulysses.
Sweet T.
Awesome C.
And Mama C.
And we're here today to put y'all up on black love, man. So when I came up with this, I was like, man, what was the most purest form of love we saw growing up? That was around our age. So I was like, damn, Martin. So what we gonna call this is when Martin met Gina, man. So we wanna get down to the nitty-gritty, talk about black love, how we see it. And how it's portrayed and shown in the media today. So how y'all feel about black love?
It's underrated.
Very underrated.
It's underrated.
And when you say it's underrated, what do you mean by it's underrated?
We don't see enough of it to really talk about it, to have a valuable talk to, you know, preach amongst ourselves about black love. We have to reference a TV show. We can't reference our own lives. It's crazy.
And that's real. I feel like sometimes, you know, we ask for black love, but do we really do enough to get it? Are we doing our part, or are we just going through the motions? You did.
Yeah, it's a technical, man.
And I think social media then really messed up relationships for us.
Social media has really messed up relationships.
I think that's
because everyone has relationship goals.
Everybody has relationship goals.
What are they?
And that none of it's genuine, if you ask me.
I'm saying, like, what are they?
It's what they see on social media.
It's what they see on social media, and not to mention love and hip hop, which I would add is a poor reference if that's what you're looking for.
I wouldn't even watch that.
Yeah, I don't even. Garbage. Straight garbage. Straight garbage.
Don't sue us.
At all. We ain't making no money. You ain't gonna get that no way.
Thanks in advance.
So let's even go deeper than that. What is love? So love is defined as an intense feeling of deep affection. Do y'all really think we are exhibiting and showing love to these
people? I feel like that's a more surface level definition.
So how about we all go around and give our definition of love then? Let's start with Mama Cisha saying setting and yet. And by the way, we want to welcome her to the podcast, you know what I mean? Jack!
Mama!
After birthing a beautiful baby boy, let's see what she got to say. Go ahead and speak your piece.
What is love to you, Mama C?
Love to me is just something that, it's a feeling, but then it's not a feeling. Like, I have felt, like, real love, but then at the same time you kind of don't want to second guess it. So I don't know, sometimes it's like a feeling that you can feel, but then it's like a feeling that you can't feel. It's hard to explain.
Next up, we gonna get the awesome C, man. This awesome man always C. Taking flights. It was a hassle just to get on here, man. Go ahead and drop jewels on this
AC
bro.
In the joint. But love, I describe love as, you know, something as unconditional. You know, people say unconditional love, but I find love as unconditional. It can be something that you can, you know, just something you can't describe, something that you accept in your heart. So that's what I see love as.
That's real. That's deep. Like, we gonna get the sweet tea, man. We gonna let her speak her piece.
What's up, y'all? So love to me, it's an intense action and feeling, but I think it's also a choice every day, because you're not going to have the same intense feeling every single day when life is hitting you. So I think it's a choice and a decision to choose love every day.
All right, now we're going to give it up to the boy Martin Ulysses. He's going to drop jewels on us about what he think love is.
Basically, to get below the surface with love is a feeling you allow yourself to be open to. Love is a change in the mindset where you can accept something or someone to complement your lifestyle without fear of being judged, not accepted, and neglected. So when you open yourself up to love, it's more or less, it's an unsaid freedom. It's a combination of actions and words and empathy and sympathy that build to the point where you feel it to its most potential.
So I guess it's on me and my SBC Desert here. So I'm going to go and I'm going to say, I think love is more than a word. I think if you say you love me, you can't tell me you love me. You got to show me. I think love is more than just those four letters. I think it's willing to do and give your last for a person. Like when you wake up in the morning, true love is that person is the first thing on your mind when you wake up in the morning. So I think that person is the first thing on your mind when you wake up in the morning and the last thing you think about when you go to sleep at night. I think love is like real innocent, you know what I mean? Love wouldn't hurt. Love wouldn't do no harmful shit. Love is just love, you dig? So I mean, like, when you love some person, you know it. It's that little butterflies in the stomach feelings. You know what I mean?
Yeah. In every essence, love breaks barriers. It breaks down walls. I mean, it opens your perspective to a new way of thinking.
And we're not saying just because we named this podcast, you know, When Martin Met Gina, a.k.a. Black Love, we're not saying that other love isn't beautiful. What we're doing is we simply just want to focus on the type of love that'll help advance our people and get niggas like us out the streets, out the club. And like, it's cool to be in love. It's cool to be monotonous. I mean, it's just...
Well, really, for lack of better words, I really think SBC Dizzy is really trying to say, we're trying to exemplify something that's not really shown. We're trying to bring light to something that exists, but not everybody is aware of it in Black love.
And then there's a lot of people who've never really been shown love, or a lot of people who don't know know what love is.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? It's a lot of people out here just that are hurt and that are hurting, but they don't know they're hurting somebody because they themselves don't know love. They don't know what love is. How y'all feel about that?
I agree. I think the first way to love someone else is you have to love yourself.
Facts. You gotta love yourself, man.
I feel like self-love is the most important love.
How can you say you love somebody when you don't love yourself? I mean, that's hypocrisy.
Yeah, it starts from within, man. You have to love yourself first in order to accept somebody else for loving you for what you can bring to the table and who you are.
And that's the problem today. People try to find love so fast that they don't know how to love themselves. So if you don't know how to love yourself, how can you love someone else? And like I said, that's the problem today. Like, you try so fast to find love because you see it on social media and you see it on television that you don't have the self-love to give yourself to give someone else.
Well, I have a question. So we've talked a little bit about relationship goals. What do y'all think about when y'all think of relationship goals? I think it's blown out of the water and kind of a little disproportionate, but let's talk about it.
I feel like relationship goals is a more imaginary sense of exemplifying what somebody else has and you wanting that, but not understanding how to maintain that and what can you bring to the table to get that. In every aspect, you see somebody in a relationship and you see everything going great and good, you be like, oh, that's the goals. You got to have your own set of goals. You got to move at your own pace. You got to have your own somebody to love. Because when people see social media relationships and they think everything is good, people pry into that and break that up to get that kind of emotion and affection from that person rather than finding their own someone to complement everything that they bring to the table already. So relationship goals can be toxic.
I feel like relationship goals is really happiness, like real, true, genuine happiness. You have to find your own happiness and someone else can't make you happy. You have to make yourself happy.
Well, I'm going to piggyback a little bit off of what Martin Ulysses was saying. I feel like relationship goals is a false entity, because when you go into relationship goals, you only see what the camera shows you. You don't see the heartache, the heartbreak, the trials and tribulations that go on behind the scene. So when you keep saying, like, let's just say back in the day, you see how our grandparents made it look so good to us, but what you really don't see is, okay, big daddy, big mama was stepping out cheating. They just made it look good to us. So I feel like with relationship goals, sometimes we can get so tied up into it that we don't look and see, okay, we don't look at the bigger picture. We just focus, we take it for face value.
People try to make stories out of other people's relationship when I feel like you should make your own story. So you shouldn't seek goals from other people's relationship. You should seek goals trying to make your own goals for your own relationship. And that's the problem.
And I think that also builds into these ideas of expectations and heightened sense of expectations of, you know, you look at Instagram, you look at Facebook, and you think, okay, I'm looking at this relationship. It seems so perfect. They have this life and this lifestyle, and they're going these places, and like they're doing this. And I think it doesn't give us a true sense of self as well as we try to, you know, honor our partner and what they truly are, and not have this built up idea of what we think that they should be.
And then another thing is when you look at relationship goals and you look at black love, what may work for that couple might not necessarily be what's right for you in your situation.
Agreed.
It's just, it's you have to find balance when you're looking for love. It's, I know a lot of people say you got to compromise, but coming from somebody who has had a failed marriage, I feel like it's not compromise. Because when you compromise with love, that entails that somebody is winning and somebody is losing. So what I like to say, rather than saying, you know, compromise, I like to negotiate. Because when you negotiate, both parties are coming together to reach a common goal. And the goal is, you know, to sustain and have a long, healthy relationship, a long, healthy marriage. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, when you say love, it's not what you see. So I want y'all, as black, brown people, or whoever you may be, to throw out the relationship goals, I guess what mantra or saying. I want y'all to throw that out and say, what is my goal for my relationship, not a relationship goal that I based on what I've seen on Instagram or Snap or Facebook. You dig what I'm saying?
Or just, I think, looking more, and stop asking yourself what is the goal, but then asking, like, what does my partner deserve? And trying to be the best for your partner.
You spoke on something that's real pivotal. You said to compromise and negotiate. And in every sense, when you learn someone, you have to pick up on the little things. You have to learn more about the little things in order to appreciate that person. You have to learn about the little things that make that person who they are. You shouldn't go into a marriage just trying to compromise about everything. Let things flow naturally. Let things unveil themselves. So when you like, oh, she doesn't like this, she doesn't like that, or he does this way because of that, you pick up on tendencies naturally. And that's how you naturally involve yourself and become naturally in love with somebody. You're not forcing any situation.
That's why I feel like love is a learning experience. You know, you got to learn that person to love that person. That's how I feel with any, you know, situation. Even with friendships, you know, you have to learn that person to love that person. But on a deeper level in a relationship, you got to understand that, you know, this person has these flaws, but I have to accept that. But, you know, they got to accept my flaws too.
Facts. Big facts. Mm-hmm. Big facts. Big facts. And another thing that I see wrong with today's society is, you know, it's just like love is so, it's more than just a face value thing. It's like you can't just say you love somebody and then do things that are contrary to what you're saying to this person. So I can't keep telling you, if I'm in a relationship with you, hey, I love you, but then I go and cheat on you every other night. That's not love. Love is actions. Love is not a word. Love is a word, but it's more than a word. That love thing is you never know how what you're doing is affecting your partner. And at the end of the day, your partner is your main concern.
Your partner is your teammate. Whatever you wouldn't do to bring the team down, don't do it.
Don't do it. You want to make this work as long as you can, because I'm going to tell y'all one thing, man. It's hard out here to find love, especially these days. I feel like somewhere along the line, morals got dropped and we became so fascinated and fixated on the image. We want the goal, but we don't want to do the work.
And to add with that, love is lost in today's generation because we lack patience. We lack the patience to wait for love. We lack the patience to sit and grow with somebody till we grow inseparable. We want everything to happen so fast because everybody has this mindset of, oh, by this age or by that age or by 25 I'm gonna be married and by 30 I want kids. You cannot rush that. You're on God's time, and people fail to understand God's speed to the extent where they rush things and become so out of pocket where they lose themselves. As individuals and as people, as we look for love, livelihood, and even careers, we have to be patient and let certain things come to us. We're more valuable than we give ourselves credit for. You have to value your partner as your partner values you. You have to value love. You have to value patience. You have to have a better moral compass of how things should work out in life rather than rushing and jumping to every conclusion because it satisfies you for the time being. If you give yourself some kind of leeway to be patient and be open and be understanding, you may grasp the concept of what love truly is. And from every standpoint, it will be genuine and last and not be superficial to anyone.
Now, so since we're speaking on love, and love is more than just a word, let me ask y'all, what song, and we're going to start off with Mama C because I feel like she ain't been putting in her input enough. When you think of love, what song really does it for you? What song really takes you back to your first love? And you know what I mean? What just sets you back to, like, what song makes you think, man, that's love in its purest form?
Alicia Keys, the As I Am album, like You'll Never See Me Again, and No One, and I Need You. That is like my ultimate love song. I love those songs.
So what about that album really just does it for you and gets you in your feels?
Because it's like when you listen, well, we'll do Like You Love, Like You'll Never See Me Again first, because obviously it's like you want to obviously cherish somebody. Like, you never know if tomorrow's the last day, or you never know how life is short. Like, you never know. So that's why when it comes to that song, it's like, no matter what, you should love them like this is your last time. You know, hug them like it's your last time. Kiss them like it's your last time. Like, you'll never see them again. Because you never know if when they walk out the door, when they you leave that person, you'll never know when you'll see that person again. So that's why you should always love them, kiss them, hug them, like you'll never see them again.
And next up, Awesome C, I'm going to ask you the same question. What song really just does for you? What song gets you in your feels?
I have kind of like two songs. I know you said song, but I like
two songs. Hey, man, just speak your piece, man. Whatever you feel good.
One song I really love, and I could put it in a man and a woman's perspective, is Real Love by Mary J. Blige.
Auntie Mary.
Yeah, she said that. Like, that's one of my most, like, favorite songs. Like, she spoke real talk with that song.
Hey, I just want to love somebody like Auntie Mary love.
Dance, like, let me tell you, she loved it. She was love. Jesus. She real loved. Love. Ain't nothing but a real love. Hey. Oh, hey. Someone set my heart.
Take it back, my
real love. Oh, searching for that real love.
What's song number two, bro? All
right. Now, I do like, people probably don't know this song. This was before he became a pastor. Pretty Willie. God Made You. So basically that song is talking about, no matter, you know, the size, what you wear, how you look, God made you to be a special person. And at the end of the day, since God made you to be that special person, you're going to be that special person for me, regardless of your flaws, regardless of your ups, regardless of your downs. So I really love that song. So it's Pretty Willie, God Made You, if y'all want to listen to it.
And essentially, that's what love is. When you love somebody, you don't see height, you don't see size. You look inward and you say, man, I really love this person's aura, I love this person's spirit. So that being said, we're going to get into Sweet Tea.
Okay, so you said at the beginning, what song did you kind of grow up in hearing about love first? And do y'all remember the Sammy album, like... I Like It and the Crazy Things. The Crazy Things I Do for Love. It's just so funny looking back because it seems so pure. The Crazy Things I Do for Love, this, like, what, 14-year-old, 15-year-old?
Mm-hmm. But that's more, like, of a puppy dog type love.
It is. But then, like, now getting older and really understanding that love is a choice, You and I, John Legend, is an amazing song.
Would you could elaborate any deeper?
Sure. I think that song goes into, you know, being chosen and flaws and all. I think that is beautiful because, like I said, love is a choice, and it's not just what we said, the intense feeling. It is the dedication of every single day making that choice and choosing that person every single day, whether it's, you know, a beautiful time, an awful time, it's still a choice.
Martin Ulysses, you up?
I feel like I kind of changed my mind a couple times on this topic, but I feel like Power Trip by J. Cole.
Ooh, that's a good one though, boy.
Power Trip by J. Cole.
Got me up all night.
Yeah, because, you know, in every essence, I think that song right there was him experiencing love for the first time. That's why he named it Power Trip. Because you tripping because you're making yourself vulnerable to a person.
Yeah.
And then he said, would you believe if I take him in love? Like, would you believe it? Because I don't. I'm kind of lost in the vague feeling of it. So I'm kind of overwhelmed. So I'm power tripping. I'm staying up all night, you know, singing love songs.
This feeling got me baffled. Yeah,
exactly.
We need to return to a conversation about that on power dynamics.
Exactly. So
we can add that to the end of this podcast, but we're going to let him finish.
I feel like with this song, he broke down the dynamics to love so well, and just everything about it, like the way the song just flowed, it just brought out a sense of emotion that you, when you reminisce about your first time in the love, or you reminisce about the first time you really was power tripping over somebody you thought you was in love with. So you breaking down certain walls and certain barriers within yourself to give yourself new experiences. Your first love won't always be your only love sometimes. Sometimes your first love may not be the right love. You can experience wrong love to show you how to get the right love. You get what I'm saying? So when you get off that power trip and you come back to your senses, you're like, dang, you know, I think I know what love is. I have a better definition of what love is. Love is like a word you'll see in every dictionary. It has so many different definitions, but so many different people can describe it in different terms that appeals to them the best way.
Because I think, to, you know, to kind of rebut what you said, I think it's kind of sort of because different people have different perspectives of what love is. But everybody done went, so that's on the kid, right? So when I think of love and the two songs, they really just hit me right in the, you know, that gut punch that had me sitting up on a, you know, back when we had the landline, I'm sitting up all night, you know what I mean? On TV, I'm watching TV, just couldn't. I think the song for me gonna be Sweetest Thing by Lauryn Hill, dog. That song there, bro, when she said it's like a kiss on the collarbone, it just something so innocent, something so sweet, something so pure. Like, that to me, that song there, as a child, that was like my puppy dog song. But as I grew older, I think the song that really did it for me was Millionaire by Chris Stapleton, dog. That man was speaking on some kind of love that I want. If I ever get married again, that most definitely is gonna be the song for me. So now I wanna get into the dynamic of why we look to older 90s, 80s sitcoms as true love. Why don't any of these newer TV shows drop jewels? And like, you don't never see any of those TV shows that, you know, that portray and uplift a black family or black love. Like, what happened to those TV shows? Like, what happened to the Martins and the Cosby shows, the My Wife and Kids, the Different Worlds, and, you know what I mean? What happened to all of those TV shows that just did all of that? Anybody care to, you know?
I feel like nowadays we feed off of drama. We feed off of oversaturated reality that drama exists in everything. And with 80s and 90s sitcoms, they had a more pure love. They didn't have the social media aspect to blind them of things. They didn't have so many people in their business. They really kept things as they were, pure and natural form, and they let everything flow. Nowadays, we have Love and Hip Hop Atlanta, Love and Hip Hop New York. They have Basketball Wives. All kinds of drama that gets revealed on a daily aspect that revolves around one word, per se, love.
Let me ask you this. Do you think that social media is really attributing to this, or is it just a symptom?
Well, let's weigh this like this. Two factors. You can have, let's say, somebody that's out here trying to inspire people to love each other, and you can have somebody that's featured on one of these shows. So if you put one of these actors off, Love and Hip Hop, ATL, or whatever it is, they got 1 million-something followers.
Yeah.
For what? They got a fan base built off of oversaturating dramatics and theatrics in a situation that's supposed to revolve around love. That doesn't make sense.
I think this new shit is detrimental to black love altogether. It's detrimental because we went from glorifying the black relationship, the black family, to just all hell breaking loose on VH1 and whatever. So the people like me who are maybe 25 and up, we got a chance to see this. But the newer generation that's like that came after us, they didn't get to see that. So all they know,
yeah,
a lot of people watch TV, and a lot of people, you know, they emulate what they see, so they're not emulating what they saw because they didn't see it.
I agree. We definitely have an issue with, you know, showcasing toxicity and love.
And that's what we're about to get into now. Toxicity
and competition.
Toxicity. When it comes to love, black love, white love, whatever love it may be, I'm telling y'all, when it's time to go, it's time to go. If the person that you're quote unquote in love with isn't for your, you know what I mean, if he or she is not for your progression, if he or she is not making you a better person, then it might just be time to go, because why be with somebody who doesn't have your best interest?
I agree. Why harm the team, like I'm saying?
There's no I in relationship. Well, there is an I in relationship. There's no I in. Yeah, we gonna laugh at my stupidity right there, man. But I mean, like, ain't no I in team. You can't just keep passing the ball to one person, letting them score, and neglecting the other person. because that's not a team, that's not unity.
I agree. I think that also there's this issue of power dynamics. I want to kind of just get y'all's opinion. What does love look like in relationships with y'all as we age and as we see like different changes in society? So like women making more money, not being so much in the house anymore. You know, we didn't see that with our grandparents. That wasn't really an issue with them. Sometimes women in the past stay in their relationships because of a financial issue, but now that is not the case. What are your thoughts on that?
Could you like break it down and elaborate? Because it was like kind of a lot.
Sorry. So I guess I'm saying, like, you know, as women become more career minded, I think, you know, that does play a part in relationships and what they look like now.
I think the problem with that, you said it, what it looks like. If you're in a relationship, who gives a fuck what it looks like? As long as it works for you. I could care if my girl makes more than me. I could care if, you know what I mean? I don't care about that. As long as the team of we, as long as that's being put forward, I could give a damn. Because at the end of the day, I know we're going to bed happy. Mm-hmm. I know that we honestly love each other. And like I said before, what works for one person might not work for us. Nice. So we just need to get rid of all this excess BS and focus on what makes us and what works for us.
Right.
So all of that power dynamics, I think we give too much attention to power dynamics. How about we just let the love that we have be genuine? How about we just let it flow naturally and not worry about the power dynamic at all?
See, with no pun intended, I mean, it's different strokes for different folks, man. And with everything you do, you have to, you know, examine yourself and examine your partner in order to understand what love is. Everybody has a different type of love. You don't really fit into one dynamic that everybody else fits to, because you create a stereotypical situation that nobody will understand. You have to create love for what it is for you without trying to weigh in what love is for everyone else.
Mama C, waiting on you. Jack ain't here, so we need your words.
I kind of get where y'all coming from, where y'all say, you know, it doesn't matter who makes more. I just feel like as long as you're not taking on a project in a relationship.
I agree.
Because taking on a project is not benefiting you sometimes. Sometimes it may benefit you. You can see like the positive aspects and how you motivate people, but how is it really benefiting you? Like, are you getting pushed?
Right.
Are you succeeding? Are they helping you?
When you say project, you talking about extra credit? You talking about midterms? You talking about finals?
I'm talking about like taking on support somebody who is probably not on the same level as you.
Oh, you talking about the LSAT? Okay.
But at the end of the day, when you're in a relationship, it's all about us.
None of that matters. So when you choose this person, you take them their faults and all. Only thing that you can do is, okay, you only thing that you can really do to make your relationship prosper and flourish is help that person be a more ambitious person.
But they have to help you as well. That's what I'm saying. As the project, it's good to help them, but are they helping you?
I think it's more of like, it's okay to hold someone's hand, but not hand holding in a sense. You don't want to be like, you want to be supportive, but not feel taxing at the same time.
Well,
that you want it more than your partner wants it.
I kind of feel different about that. I feel like it should be more people viewing love as a garden. You know, a man has to plant a seed in the garden being a woman. They both have to have what it takes to help the seed grow being a child. So when you open up your perspective to different things, you see different aspects in them. Some people may view it as a project. Some people may view it as a parasitic relationship, being that they're putting in more than they're giving. But when you see the byproduct of your actions, you create a different instance. You come with a different formula. It's almost like chemistry. That's why people say when they have a relationship, they have chemistry in relationships, because you're going to get some things wrong. It's going to be trial and error. You're going to get a different reaction with different things. But when your chemistry is right, you have the perfect formula to get the best end product.
Well, my thing is, who cares about who's putting in the most work? Because at the end of the day, I mean, yeah, we can talk about it, because she just showed signs of life, y'all. Mama C just showed signs of life. I think I may have got an eye roll. My thing is, who cares about who's doing the most work?
As long as you're working. Because I don't want to get drained.
You don't want to get drained, but there always comes a time where you might be doing more work this week, but the next week I'm doing more work. So you can't look at it as like, I'm doing more work. Because you don't know just how much work it took for me to get us to where we are right now.
Because it's a partnership.
It's a partnership. It's no I. I feel like that's the problem with love. That's the problem with love today.
Say that shit.
We so worried about I, me. We always taking, but are we really fucking giving?
But that's the thing. Sometimes when you do take on people, you know that you guys are not on the same level. That's understandable. You guys are different, making different amounts of money, having different careers and problems. That's fine. So you have to learn to accept that. But when you're always the one constantly taking on the projects, fixing them, pushing them, motivating them, when is it going
to
be?
Well, that's when you need to have a conversation and be like, hey, get up off your ass, do what you need to do, or I'm leaving. Point blank period.
Say that shit.
The issue starts if you, from the jump, look at your partner as we're not equals,
then you'll never be equal.
Then you will never be equal.
That's a great point. That is a great point.
I think when you look at it at the beginning, if you're like, oh, well, we're not on the same page, you know, like, I'm higher or whatever the case may be. I think the minute that comes into your mind and your spirit and your heart, you need to reassess, like, well, this might not be the person that you need to be with.
So yeah, when you say that, let's get into examining this, because I feel like when it gets into a point like that, I think you really need to better pick who you're talking to.
I agree.
I feel like we need to pass this topic to AC, the coolest cat in town. I feel like he got a lot to say on this one.
AC the alley cat, you feel me? What I feel about that whole topic is all about us. And most of the time when it gets into the topic, there's always an I in the I team. And that's when it becomes a problem. And, you know, in most situations, somebody is going to make more than the other. That's going to be the case. Ain't no couple going to make the same if it's a dollar more, if it's a penny more. But at the end of the day, you chose to love this person, and your goal as the person you made this promise to God that you're going to build this person for better or for worse. So I feel you as the bigger person, you have to build that person.
You got
to
be able to put that pride to the side.
Put the pride to the side. And you know, y'all may seem like it's babysitting on both perspectives, on a man and a woman's perspective, but you chose this person at the end of the day.
And you chose it for a reason. I think the minute that you think it's babysitting, then that's when you need to leave, because I think that's the wrong perspective to have. I'm not saying like you get in a relationship and then you're like, oh, well, I feel like I'm babysitting someone. That's something that you need to assess early on at the beginning.
But sometimes people don't realize that until they made that commitment. So say for instance, you in a relationship with this person for 10 years, and then once y'all get married after the 10th year and y'all move in together, you find out that, oh, this is something different, and you feel like you're babysitting.
And I think we need to have a discussion on why communication in relationships is so important.
So you keep saying that. Let's have this discussion right now.
Okay, let's talk about it.
Well, let's talk about communication in relationship. To me, that's the biggest make and or break. Because if you ain't got communication and you ain't got trust, you ain't got shit in a relationship anyway.
You said one big thing, though. You said even in a relationship, in a team, it's always that I. It's no I in team, but it's a me. Like, literally, in team, it's a me. It's always, you have to put yourself first in that team because you have to think about yourself. When you think about a team, you think about what can you bring to a team. Then you think about the other people because you're still examining your partner as you create the team.
I agree, but I don't agree.
Yeah,
I think you look at yourself and say, like, what can I do to help my partner? I think that's the perspective to have. Not necessarily as a what can I get, but how can I continue
but it's,
to give.
This is the thing, though. When women and men, when we both see different aspects of a person, we rate their accolades and their curriculum. When we look at them differently. You'll see somebody, oh, he's a doctor, he's a lawyer, oh, she's a model. Those things that appeal to you because you're interested in those things.
But that ain't real love, though.
But in essence, though, you weighing a person differently because you're being superficial. A lot of love nowadays is valued at a superficial level. That's why you have these. That's why you have high profile people dating other high profile people.
I just feel like we done strayed so far away from love that these days we don't even looking for love. We ain't looking for love. We looking for help.
We looking
or
for
status.
We look
status.
Exactly.
I feel like we don't even want love no more.
To go back to your point of like happiness. I think to go back to your point about like, you know, celebrities dating other celebrities. I don't think that's necessarily they're looking for other celebrities. I just think that when you're around, you date your proximity.
But this is the thing, though.
Areas where these people you work with these people or you're around these people all the time. That's just who you have.
In the essence of with that statement, they're dating people that understand their quality of life.
True.
Look at Jennifer Lopez, for instance.
That's not love.
But look at it, though. Jennifer Lopez, she's been married four or five times. And she looks happy on camera. Everything look high and dandy. They have high profile weddings versus somebody from a small town. Let's say a small town in Alabama or Georgia. They have a small town where even the ones that go to the courthouse, they've been married for 30 years. They didn't do all the bells and whistles, but it was genuine.
Their love is more genuine than anything
else. Exactly. So when you start to involve social status, social structure, monetary things into a marriage, when you're looking at somebody, things fall apart way quicker.
And that's what I'm saying. That's the problem.
That's true.
It go from sugar to shit. Like, when you start looking at... I'm just going to be real. I'm going to call a spade a spade. That's when things go from sugar to shit. Because at that point, you ain't even looking for love. You ain't even looking for happiness. You looking for... How can I come up? Right. And this I'm gonna say this right here. I know a lot of times I feel like women, I'm gonna say, hey, cut and dry, call a spade a spade. They say ain't no more good dudes out here or whatever, right? Right? Some people say that,
some
right?
People do say that, yes.
Speak your mama see, speak your peace.
Say that shit.
Say that shit. Y'all can be like, ain't not no more good. Ain't not very many, but at the same time, the ones that you saying ain't you're not giving them the time of day. Because you're looking for a certain thing. So you never know what this cat over here might have. He might not have the most money, but I guarantee to you, he'll make you the happier than you ever been.
Let's go around and talk about expectations and non-negotiables. Name your non-negotiables.
I'm going to go first because I'm hot about this shit. So my first non-negotiable. Hey, y'all can
this
laugh.
This is black love.
This is black love. So, hey, my first non-negotiable, and this is SBC. My first non-negotiable is closed-mindedness. If you're not open to try new things, then why am I with you? Because I was brought up way differently than a lot of people grow, especially black people. So if you're always constantly looking at things from your perspective, you show me right then and there that you're not open to change. You're not. You're closed-minded. My second one, if you're not willing to communicate, because I have a big thing, I don't want to go to bed mad. Because look at the Nipsey and Lauren situation. She didn't know that was the last time she's going to see that guy. So why go to bed mad? We need to be able to communicate. Need to. That is a must. If you want to be in love, you gotta communicate, bro.
I think it's also necessary to learn your partner's communication styles.
Exactly. And
third, love languages as well.
Thirdly,
there you go.
If you're not willing to put in the time, then what we doing to fuck?
And your apology language as well.
Another huge thing that really is a big factor, you have to be transparent. Learning your partner and learning to be transparent with your partner will help you so much. Because it's so much discomfort in relationships because they don't feel like they can express everything. That's when you start to incorporate all these middlemen in relationships. You in a whole marriage. Why you need somebody else to vent to? This is your partner.
But that's when it don't become love. When I gotta go outside my marriage, my relationship to get an opinion, that's when it's beyond us now. Because although you might have in-laws, your in-laws will say, and this is from experience, your in-laws will say, I never judge you. I'll be neutral. At the end of the day, no matter what you do, they're going to always pick their person's side.
Absolutely. Well, and then also, if you bring in other people into your relationship, you know, oh, girl, let me tell you how my man got me upset yesterday. They're always going to be thinking, you and your man could make up the next day, but they're always still
y'all
going
always got
to
some
be
damn
thinking
problems.
That
say that shit.
Men do, too. But I think it's also the fact that, like, your friend is going to be thinking, I remember what you did to my girl the other day. Like, that's a dog. But you and your man have made up. So they're never going to be as forgiving because, I mean, you, like I said before, you
and
chose this
at
person.
It, and looking at it from that token, since we speaking of token, it's always two sides of a coin, right?
Exactly.
So
three.
Well, yeah, it's your side, my side, and the damn
and the truth.
That's why.
So you might have said one thing, and you got this person thinking that this is what happened, this is what it is, and this is what it's going to be when in actuality, it could have been, it's a whole gray area there.
That's why a private life is a happy life. Handle your business within your household. Do not let your secrets leave your household. Do not let your problems leave your household. Do not let your problems or troubles wait over on you till you take them outside your household. Handle those problems before you leave your household.
And that's when the toxins come in, when you bring other people into the relationship asking for advice. That's when the toxins come in, because they're going to give you advice.
You're going to
take their advice 9 out of 10 because you trust them with
not
what
even
you
thinking that
share.
Their advice is based on their experiences.
Right.
And their experiences don't apply to your situation.
And it's a whole new story.
Whole new story. Whole
not
new
even
story.
A different chapter.
That's why
just
I think it's
book.
So important when you get engaged or even before you. I think even before you get engaged, or you're seriously considering marriage, I think it's so important to go to counseling.
Counseling.
And but, then also to go when you're married, because nothing actually has to be wrong, but it's always good to have a third professional party to analyze what's going on.
Sweet T, you have to think about something. The way we were raised on backwood love. Let's jump the broom. We were raised on common law marriages. How can counseling and a third party professional opinion help modern day society understand what love is? How?
We have to evolve.
That comes from breaking love the cycle. At some point, you got to be like, I want to be bigger than what this is. You just got to, you know what I mean?
You have to get rid of these traumas and these generational curses that have continued on and on and on. And how do we do that? We have to look for other productive measures to do so. Counseling is one.
And I respect that so much because it takes a lot in someone to admit they need counseling. And it takes a lot in two people to admit they need counseling. That's devotion. Right there, that's devotion, because you don't want to lose someone. You're willing to go through whatever obstacle it is together to have the best end product for you, the family you're trying to create, and the reality that you live in. Because a peace of mind is the most valuable thing we have in today's society.
Absolutely. Like I said, I will go ahead and say that again. You know, you're a team. You have to look at the tape of your last game. Does it look right? You have to make sure that you're in the practice over and over and over, ready all right. for game day.
So all right, now back to these non-negotiables. Mama, see you up next. What are your non-negotiables? What are you looking for? So tell people what you look for, and you know what I mean? Just give an overall synopsis of what it is.
Well, what I look for is to make sure that they have ambition, like they are motivated to, you know, grow in life. Because if you don't have that, then I don't know what you're doing with your life. And you have to have communication, and you have to be happy with yourself. Because it's not, amen, when I'm in a relationship with someone, it's not my job. I feel like it's not my job to make them happy.
Would happiness necessarily revert back to self-love? Would that be in the same category? You kind of got to break it down for the people.
When I say happiness is a non-negotiable, like, you have to be happy with yourself before you try to be happy with me. Because if you're not happy with yourself,
I'm glad
it's
you're
not my job to make you happy. You should already have that happiness.
So what makes you happy with yourself? If you know what makes you happy with yourself, how can you help your partner make themselves happy?
Well, honestly, if they're not happy before they got with me, then we're not going to be together. We're gonna have to be friends first.
But what happened to working? Just putting in the work to make each other happy.
No, you have to be happy.
I see what you're saying. You're talking about self-love. Right. You're talking about inner joy, inner peace you within have yourself. To,
yes, before you being come with me. Yourself.
I agree.
Because I can't keep myself happy and then try and still try and keep you happy.
Right.
Like, you have to do that on your own so we both can have a great, happy relationship.
So you looking for the yin to your yang?
I guess.
You're like the twin.
You looking for the egg to your roll. Okay.
All right, also see. Drop them jewels, bro.
What was the question again?
What are your non-negotiables with your non-listening ass?
I was listening. I was just thinking.
What are your non-negotiables?
Real stuff. I feel like one thing I want in a relationship is everyone to have high expectations. I think that's what's the big problem with relationships today. Everyone has high expectations on things that they shouldn't. That they shouldn't have high expectations on, you know. Just go with the flow. And that's what's wrong with people nowadays. They just don't go with the flow. They just have these high expectations on these things. I want my wife to be just like this, or a female, I want my husband to be just like this. And it's like, you get very
impatient,
or you get very secured on how you want things, and you don't think outside the box.
And that's why I said close-minded, because when you go in there with them expectations, you never know. You could be missing your little of the valley right there by shutting this person down. You could be.
Right.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You never know what God put in your life.
That's true. You blind yourself to the
reality. You blocking your blessing by saying, oh, he ain't this doctor making six figures.
Yeah.
But you never know that. If had you got with him, had you gave him a chance, you could have just gave him, you know what I mean? He could have been something else. He might not have been his doctor, but he could have been something else great.
And and that piggyback off of what AC said, expectations create failures.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
You set your expectations so high, when they don't meet that, that creates a sense of failure. And then that creates doubt, unhappiness, you know, depression. And it's a long list of things that piggyback off of those things.
When you start so high, the only way to go is down.
Because with high expectations, someone in that relationship expects someone to be the bigger person. But when you're in a relationship, you can't do that.
Exactly.
And both of y'all got to be the bigger person.
Exactly. And we're gonna pass at the sweet tea.
My non-negotiable. You have to love God. You have to.
That's a big one. Nobody mentioned.
You have to love God because
we're blessed in the city.
We're blessed in the veil too. But there I'm just saying, you have to love God because you have to love something so much bigger than yourself and me, and we have to follow that path. That has to be like the tied rope, I guess. The third strong strand. I think that when you're faith centered in your relationship, then your life changes, and I think it changes for the better. And another non-negotiable I can think of, like you said, communication, forgiveness, and
Before we pass to the morning Ulysses, I do want to say one thing, because she brought up something that nobody else mentioned, which was the most important thing. If you ain't got the king in your relationship, you really don't have anything, because the Bible tells you put God first. You know what I'm saying? So
how can you have God is love. God is the defining factor of love. He created love. So if you don't love the creator of love, you don't know how to love. Exactly. And I think you do have different types of love. People have trouble love. People have violent love. But it's not the purest form. So love looks different from, there are different aspects of love. But I think if you love the creator of who created love and you seek to know him more, then that means that your relationship can't fail.
And without God, your relationship is just pure chaos.
It is.
It'll never be anything stable until you seek, you seek God.
Absolutely.
True.
Because ain't nothing gonna move without God, whether it be a relationship.
And then it goes back to what Mama C was saying, as far as if you're not happy, first of all, we can't look to an other person for happiness. That other person is never going to fulfill your joy. It's just not. That's God-centered and God-placed within yourself. So I think it goes back to what she's saying. If you are not happy within yourself, you're definitely not going to be happy with me, because it's kind of you're looking to me to build that expectation of putting on this entertainment suit for your pleasure, and it's never going to be 100%. It's just, it never is.
Marty Mark, you up?
Hold on, wait. I got a testimony.
Go ahead.
So please.
It is so true about God, because I was in a relationship for 2 years. We were going to church, going to his church, my church, going back and forth. As soon as we stopped going to church, when I tell you, all hell raised in that apartment. And in our relationship, it was horrible.
We do not condone domestic violence.
I'm not saying that. But I'm just saying, we were arguing all the time. For some odd reason, we never saw eye to eye. But it was just, I don't know what happened, but God is he's literally the heart of everything.
In a household, your household in a household without God. Right. God is the head of the household.
You have to keep God Absolutely. In your life, whether you're in a relationship or not.
And I think it's you have to be submissive to God. So, in order to be submissive to God, you also have to, die to yourself a little bit. Get rid of that pride. Get rid of that ego. And I think that really, really helps you in a relationship.
All right. So, Mark.
I feel like you have to understand
what's your non-negotiable?
Oh, non-negotiable. You know, if they can't understand complexity, it won't work for me.
What you mean by complexity? Because I don't even understand that.
When I say complexity, it's kind of like chess. People see the man, they think the man is the breadwinner, but the queen is the most valuable piece.
Facts. Go ahead. Facts.
And when I say the queen is the most valuable piece, you have to do whatever you can do in your power to protect your queen. If you can't protect your queen, then that's the end of the match. The game is over. You lose. So when I say protect your queen, you have to value your queen. You have to respect her. You have to put her in a position where she can move, but she can't go too far without knowing that you're right beside her.
Every step.
No matter who else is on play, who else is in play in your reality, being punts, knights,
busters, as I would call it.
Exactly. Everybody that's involved in y'all environment, y'all remain the centerpieces. Y'all remain the two most important pieces on the board. So love is chess. So regardless of how you move or how you want to appear to somebody in that household, you protect that queen.
Right.
And whether it be by putting God first, whether it be by humbling yourself, and whether it be by just choosing a new perspective to approach things, you have to value your queen, because you don't value your queen, you don't value anything.
That's true. If your queen doesn't feel like she has security, the house.
Exactly. That's a two-way street. We should just stop talking about the queen. And I'm going to put it to you like this, point blank, period. It's a two-way street. I know a lot of people say happy wife, happy life.
Do you know what that comes from?
Can I finish?
Go ahead.
I ain't trying to be a butthole, but I honestly don't think a relationship is 50-50.
But
a relationship is 100-100. You put in your all, I put in my all, and we working to a greater good. I shouldn't just be working and busting my ass to make sure my queen is good. My queen should also be working and putting in the same amount of time I am and effort. That's my third non-negotiable effort. If you're not putting in effort that I'm putting in.
And I was going to say that as well. Like, I love that synopsis.
That chest brought it home, dog. I was over here like, shit, deep, this man know what he's talking about.
That was deep. Like, but I do feel like every king should be the head of their queen. But I think every queen should have their king's side.
You know what I'm saying?
Or be behind their king. Because I know a lot of queens, I would like the perspective, think that the king should bow down to them a lot. I have met a lot of queens that said that, and they never had their king's back.
And they don't realize that by doing that, they putting a lot of pressure on him. And then that's why I say it's not 50-50. Yeah. It's 100-100. So if you look for me to do 110%, then what are you really doing? How are you really helping this relationship flourish?
Which is why I said that it goes back to godly love, submission.
But I feel like a lot of women, not trying to shit on y'all don't have that, because a lot of times y'all look to the man to just do any and everything and go above and beyond. But what y'all don't see is by doing that, y'all really not helping us.
Well, I feel like this. Mm-hmm. Let's change the dynamic. Let's take love from a chess dynamic to a more spade game dynamic. Spades. No. Listen. In spades, it's a queen to compliment every queen, correct?
Yeah, but you got
jokers. But listen. Too. Exactly. So the only thing that can trump a king or a queen is a joker, right? That's the most powerful. That's the most powerful card in the deck. Joker, deuce. When you got love, you got a marriage, it's always gonna be those jokers. You let those jokers play the role they wanna play by you letting them pry into your marriage and your life. Or you can play straight up. You can be straight up with each other, be open and honest, and the jokers are not even there anymore.
And look at us, turning love into a game, yet again.
But it's not a game, it's a mindset. It's your perspective.
Look at what we're saying. We start off saying like, okay, protect your queen, but then it turned into, well, the queens need to protect your king. Absolutely. But what we started off at the beginning was saying, the more you focus on your partner, there is no game.
But this is the thing.
Protection 100%.
You have to let me break down this whole synopsis. In spades, you have a partner. That partner has your back, regardless. The only thing can trump a king or queen is a joker.
Or a deuce.
Exactly. But you only let certain things cut into that. So if you have a relationship, because in spades you can't talk across the board. You have to know each other.
But see, the only reason I'm gonna stop you is because you can't use a spades game and say you can't talk across the board, because relationships is all about communication.
But this is the thing, though. You have to know each other before you step into that.
I get what you're saying.
You have to know each other before you get into that. When we go out in public, exactly. Yeah. When we go out in public, we're not going to necessarily discuss everywhere we're going to act and how we're going to carry ourselves accordingly. It's a known thing. It's an unsaid thing that's known. So when you sit down at the space table, you know your partner. You know their tendencies. In a marriage, you should know your partner, know their tendencies. You know the things that create barriers, and you know the things that are deal breakers. The jokers are deal breakers. The deuces are deal breakers. The aces are deal breakers. So when you go into a relationship, that's your partner. So you look at it like it's your spades partner. You're going to protect your partner, because at the end of the day, those books that you get while you're playing spades, you have to account for both of y'all with them. Mm-hmm. That's just like a salary in a household. Oh, I make $100,000. I make $60,000. It don't matter, because it represents both of you all.
Who is trying to be the brokest in the house? Exactly.
Like,
come on now.
Yeah, my thing with that, as long as we bringing money in, hey, money, like when you get married, you drop all the I's and me's for us's and we's.
Yeah.
That's how I was taught. You drop the I's and me's for us's and we's. So who really cares who makes the most money, as long as there's income coming into the I know you looking at me crazy, Mama C. Don't nobody care about how much money you make, as long as we both making this shit happen.
Absolutely. But I was trying to be broke in a marriage. Like,
exactly.
I know a lot of women who are the breadwinners in the
household. But we need to make sure that there is something coming in.
Let's not let man lose value though. Let's not let our women lose value either. We should look at each other as we are equal. We can't have that 60s and 70s love, that 80s and 90s love. It gotta be 100-100, dog. Because the way that our lives are structured has changed so much. Yes. We have so many women in power that we got men in power too, but they don't know how to compliment each other. That's where everything clashes. Because it's so much pride in the mix of bringing what you bring to the table. Fuck pride. You want to be happy? Fuck pride. Pride.
Go ahead, off.
So I do got a question for the women. What is it in men that y'all despise? Like, what is the problem with us?
Yeah, like, why are we always the problem? Yeah. I never understood that. Like,
yeah.
Hold on now.
Now let them speak.
Well, whatever y'all say, y'all better mean all of that shit.
Yeah, because hey, we on that ass.
Because listen,
like, we on that ass listen, tonight.
When y'all. I say this is the moment.
Hey man, we gonna let Sweet T speak first, cause me and Mama C been going at it all night, and I'm just ready to just dispel all this shit. So
okay,
Sweet T, go
the
first.
Again. What is the
what was the question? Awesome. You here?
Okay. What was the question? The question was awesome, but the question was, what do you women expect from us men?
Like why are we always the
bad guy to you?
First of all, I think y'all answer your own question. You expect yourself to be the bad guy.
No,
but
no.
You can only expect where there's truth.
Always pointed to be the bad guy.
If things go wrong, you blame the man.
So I think
if things go right, you take credit.
Are you going to let me speak?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I apologize. SPC Desi is sorry.
SPC, I appreciate your apology.
And I appreciate your appreciation.
Sweet T, the mic is yours. Draw some ice in that motherfucker.
Nigga sweet. Nigga sweet.
He sweat hotel part two.
Okay, so first of all, I think it's this idea that you all think that you are the wrong in whatever happens. Honestly, I don't know. I kind of want Mama C to touch on this a little bit.
Mama C.
Mama!
No woman! The woman of the hour. I've been waiting on this, y'all. Go ahead and drop them jewels.
She ain't got jewels. She got pennies.
Drop them cents.
No, coins.
Go ahead.
I don't really think all men ain't shit.
So is it just the ones you pick?
It may be just the ones that are around in the area. But, I mean, even though y'all, not talking about y'all.
I'm finna say that hurt my little whole heart.
I'm just saying, probably just the ones that are around and, you know, you haven't seen different types. Hopefully there is different types around from around here. But it's just sometimes when it comes to dudes, I guess their insensitivity can really play a big part.
Facts.
Because, you know, women, we can be a little more emotional and be a little more sensitive.
Be patient, man.
And guys are just, you know, oh, whatever, she's always in her feelings, or oh, she tripping, bruh.
Kiki.
Right. Like, you know, so sometimes when we see it as, oh, like they're insensitive, you know, we kind of, you be like, oh, they're an asshole. Because they don't really see our side.
We don't like our feelings to be invalidated.
Right. Absolutely. And sometimes, you know, that's not their main concern, is our feelings. So
all right, y'all don't like y'all feelings to be invalidated, right? Mm-hmm. And we as men, we don't like to talk about feelings. So when we finally do break down and talk about our feelings, y'all need to validate our feelings the same way y'all want y'all. That's my perspective. I'm not speaking for every male on the drinking gourd. I'm just saying when we finally do break down and we speak our piece, the same way y'all want y'all feelings validated, we want our feelings considered as well. When we open up, we not weak. Don't call us weak. Don't call us this, that, and the third. And that happens a lot. I'm looking at your face.
I do have to say something about that. I like, me as a male, I like to express my feelings, but sometimes when I express my feelings to a female or a woman, I'm tripping.
You being too sensitive. You ain't I'm no man. You being a little bitch.
Because I'm getting to their look. They saying, you're acting like me now. That's what they say.
I say this.
Really?
When you're expressing yourself, it has to be a certain level of emotional intelligence.
And respect.
Because if you don't understand a person's level of emotional intelligence, you don't know how to approach them. And if you don't understand the aspect of emotional intelligence, you should not be in a relationship.
Them too. What kind of women are y'all date.
But
it's like she said, we only fishing out the same pond. We only fishing out a pond so big.
But this is the thing though, you know, with certain aspects, it's not even about the women that you're dating. You have to realize that people are at different levels of life, different maturity levels, different aspects of understanding relationships and love. But when you take that perspective and you can put it behind the most beautifulest face, when they don't understand how to love somebody and how to compliment each other, they start failing. They start falling apart because when you peel back pieces of an onion, you start to understand different aspects of a situation. You get closer to everything that lies underneath the skin. And when I say when you get closer to everything that lies back underneath the skin, when you around an onion, everybody knows an onion makes you cry.
Facts.
But you have to peel back the skin of the onion to get that reaction. You have to peel back layers of yourself to understand your emotion that can make you a sensitive person. That can give you a better understanding of the next person. So when you're pulling back layers of the onion and you start to get that reaction to cry, and to cry from that, you peel back layers of yourself where you become more emotionally intelligent.
And open.
So when things start to affect you on a different level, you start to understand yourself better. And some people are like, oh, they're too emotional. No, they have a great understanding of themselves, so they don't want to put themselves in any situation where they compromise their peace. Because a situation that has no effect on you can break somebody down based off what they've been through. Because they understand their situations and their past instances. And they don't want to be back in those same situations again. So, when I say the synopsis that you're pulling back the skin from an onion, you begin to cry. You start to understand yourself better. That creates a bliss. So it creates something new. It creates a new emotional standpoint.
So one thing I want to get back on. Since we didn't spoke so highly of black love, I want to talk about toxicity some more. I hope I'm saying that word right, because we have some English teachers here. So I just want to, like, how do people know when the love is gone? How do people know when they're in a toxic relationship? And how should they go about getting themselves out of a toxic relationship? Because I know some people, well, I've heard instances where this might be all that person knows. So they're more so looking out for the other person's feelings because they don't know how their split from that person might affect that person. So can we speak on toxicity and knowing, throwing in the towel, when to leave?
I think you know when the love is gone when no one is willing to work. When you reach a point where they're not trying to go back to fixing the issue or facing the issue at hand.
So what you're saying is when there's no effort, that's when it becomes... All right. So who's next?
I feel like she made a great point. You have to understand that when there's no effort, you feel like you tried everything you can in your power. People usually give up after they feel like something is tormenting them.
Facts.
You don't want to be in a relationship that's breaking you down more than it's building you up. That's why I say you got to be a gardener. A garden is known for planting seeds. You know, when a woman is fertile, that's the garden. The man provides the seed that creates the offspring and the child. You use the same terminology in science when you think of plants. You know, when people see a planet square, they don't understand that when you breed in something, you bringing in different traits and different characteristics to create something that is whole.
I think they understand, but they just negate the toxic traits. And they're so blinded by what that person has that they say, you know what? This person has exhibited this great quality, this great quality, this great quality. But because he's shown that, mm-hmm. or he or she has shown that, I'm going to just say, to hell with him being, you know what I mean, and having to judge, like, you know what I mean?
You want to know something crazy? That resorts back to what you said earlier. You said open-mindedness. Mm-hmm. You have to be open-minded to every capability and every possibility in order to understand
what I'm saying is sometimes people are so, quote, all right, so what I'm saying is one person can be madly in love. Mm-hmm. So when they're that mad in love, they don't see and they don't register that what the other person is doing is toxic. Mm-hmm. They only remember the things that made them fall in love versus the thing that they don't really like. So they're compromising their morals because they're so quote unquote in love, and they become less in their eyes. They're saying, you know what? I love this person so much that I'm going to overlook this fact.
And you know something? That resorts back to communication. And
people
that's
don't
a big
communicate
thing.
About toxic traits though.
But it's more
counseling.
Or less
therapy.
Exactly. That resorts back to everything that we said. Sweet T said counseling. That's a big step. That takes a huge step. But you got to understand, some people will compromise what they have going on in the marriage because they look at everything as risk for reward. I'm going to take this risk to humble myself and do this thing that's out of pocket for me.
But the thing is, is the risk worth the reward?
Exactly. Not too many people understand that. That's why they need counseling. They need a professional to lead them on the right path. Because, you know, even in life, we go astray sometimes. But we always know how to come back home. As college students or adolescents that move on their own, we can go out, we can mess up a couple times because we know we can come back home. You get what I'm saying? When you get out of pocket, you know you can come back home. When your marriage falls apart, you know you can come back home. But you have to understand what that home is. Home is
home is love.
But no, home is a more hypothetical sense of what understanding you have within yourself and others and everybody in your environment.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Everybody want to raise in that type of environment, though.
Exactly.
So
that,
what I'm saying is,
that goes back to complexity.
You have to learn it. But what I'm saying is, when it comes to toxicity, there might be people out there that don't understand. How can we help them to understand that, you know what I mean? Not necessarily that the love is gone, but it's time for you to leave.
I mean, I feel like we
can't... I'm so glad she spoke up, y'all.
I feel like we can't really tell them. It's really based off their strength. They have to be the one that be like, okay, enough's enough. I need to go.
Absolutely.
I need to walk away.
I think what y'all are not understanding.
It's almost kind of like addiction.
Yeah, what I'm saying is, I'm speaking... All right, this is me. I'm speaking for the person who can't just let go. Even though everything might be so toxic, but what is your advice to me as a person that can't let go? Like, help me see that shit ain't what it should be. Help me understand, like, damn, I need to let this shit go. This is not love. This is harm. This love is so toxic that
we can't help you. You have to be able to do it on your own.
You have to be aware with your own eyes.
So how do I do that?
You have there's no writing, no breaking point that you read, there's no instruction manual to become yourself. Like, there is nothing. You have to do that on your own. You have to find your own strength. You have to get inside your own mind and find out, okay, this, I cannot live like this anymore.
Yeah.
And you have to go on.
But I feel like love is like a learning experience, though. You know, you have to learn about yourself, and then your partner has to teach you about yourself, too.
That's true.
On both ends.
A relationship is really a mirror.
Yeah, it's a tree.
You can't hide yourself.
I feel like you should be able to see yourself in your partner.
Absolutely.
Yeah. AC, what kind of tree
flesh
is it?
Flesh of my flesh.
Bone of my bone.
What kind of tree is it, AC? Is a willow tree? Is a pine?
No.
Is an oak tree?
It's a maple tree.
It's a maple tree. Talk to me. No. A maple tree, why?
He said it's a tree. It's like you plant a seed. You didn't spoke all podcasts about planting a seed.
True.
So when you plant that seed, you eventually want it to grow.
Yeah. True.
Just like your relationship. You plant that seed. When you plant that seed, you put in water, air, oxygen, and most importantly, God.
Yeah. Absolutely. But I think the best thing about the tree, though, I mean... We know the strength of the tree is really underground. Mm-hmm. The work is done underground.
It has to have strong roots
in order to stand strong.
Yeah. And I respect that so much because think about trees. You know how long it takes trees to grow?
I got one better. The wind means nothing. The wind means nothing when the roots are strong. So no matter how hard the wind blows, and when I say wind, I'm saying like the wind is going to be a metaphor for trouble. No matter what kind of troubles you go through, as long as your beliefs and your upbringing and everything you believe in, as long as that's strong, the tree won't move.
That's crazy because that's a beautiful thing to think about. Because
I try.
As long as you build a strong foundation, you will survive turbulent times.
A strong foundation is key to anything.
You said, though, was your upbringing. I think we also have to assess, was our upbringing really healthy? Was it a good way that we saw love? Was it genuine?
Hold on, sweet tea. You better talk to him now.
I'm just saying.
You better talk to him, sweet tea.
I'm just saying, like, a lot of times we think, like, oh, well, the way mama and daddy, you know, showed us love in the beginning. No, like, the love that you saw, was it healthy love? And I think you need to
be honest. But we don't know because we don't know what they showed.
Well, how did they show love to you?
Exactly. They showed her what was best for us. Exactly. They didn't show you everything.
They showed what they thought was
best
for us.
What they thought, exactly. What their perception of what was good. And then we know that perception can be flawed. So I think it's good to be honest and open to yourself about what does love look like and is it healthy? The love that I saw growing up, whether that was towards me, towards my parents, the way that they loved each other, was it something that I can identify with, and being honest with yourself and being accepting, like, you know what, that wasn't what I saw, that wasn't something that's healthy, and I don't want that for myself, and that's okay. You have to be able to say, that is not what I want.
And that being said, I know we done ran a little bit over y'all. This black love topic will have a part two. It might be the next one, it might not. But this is the Drinking Goat. I am SPC Desi.
Mar Ulysses.
Awesome C.
Sweet T. Mama C.
And I know the last time we closed out, it was a little bit boring, so we got something for y'all today. It's gonna be that Frankie Beverly and Maze. Before I let go, and one thing I do wanna say is I wanna give a special shout out, a special dedication to the lady who showed me what love was, my first love, my grandmother, Miss Minnie Pearl Cable. It just ain't the same without you. We miss you and we love you, and happy birthday.
I wanna make sure.